Welcome to Voice of the Public on 90.7 FM and KRWG.org. I'm your host, Edmundo Resendez. Our special guest today is U.S. Senator Martin Heinrich, Democrat from New Mexico. Call in right now at 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212 to ask Senator Heinrich your questions or comments. You can also join us on our social media desk where Fred Martino is ready to hear from you. Lots to talk about, including the investigation of Russia's interference in the election, the Senate debate over repealing the Affordable Care Act, and the Trump administration's review of the Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks National Monument. What's on your mind? We want to hear from you as we open up the phone lines on today's Voice of the Public on 90.7 FM and KRWG.org after the news. Good afternoon and welcome to Voice of the Public on 90.7 FM and KRWG.org. My name is Edmundo Resendez. I am your host today for this radio town hall conversation with U.S. Senator Martin Heinrich. Senator Heinrich, welcome to KRWG and thank you for taking the time to be on with us today.
Well, thank you, Edmundo, and thanks for having me back on KRWG. And I guess I should say thank you to all the folks who showed up to our town hall that we did there in Las Cruces just a few weeks back. That was a great experience for myself and for Senator Udall.
It was a great experience, great conversation, and lots of people showed up. It was nice to see that kind of interaction.
Yeah, I think 400 or 500 people showed up. It was really a great turnout.
Okay.
Tribute to sort of the community's involvement.
575-646-2212, 575-646-2212, if you want to join in on the conversation with U.S. Senator Martin Heinrich, or you can join us on our social media desk where Fred Martino is standing by ready to hear from you. Now, Senator Heinrich, before we move things along, we want to let people know that you will only be on for about 30 minutes or so today because you've got work to do, and so we want to get in as many calls as possible right now at 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212. Senator Heinrich, let's kick off the conversation with a press conference that you held earlier this week regarding Trump Care. You held a press conference stating how the harmful impact Trump Care will have on rural America. Let's start out there.
Well, I think it's an area that bears a lot of attention because this has certainly not been a conversation that has been focused around the specifics of how rural America could really struggle under some of these changes. This is a situation where if the House bill were to pass, we would see over $800 billion taken out of Medicaid. Medicaid numbers are proportionately higher in rural areas. That could be absolutely devastating. And what it means is rural hospitals end up treating people with no coverage. So they have higher uncompensated care and they have higher emergency room visits. Both of those things can move a rural hospital from being in the black to being in the red. And when we look at where rural hospitals have closed in recent years, it has been largely in the states that chose not to expand Medicaid. So those hospitals, to their credit, they stepped up during the debate over the ACA and said, we'll take less in reimbursements per patient, but we want all those patients covered to the best ability we can. And so now we're talking about, the House bill takes away that Medicaid coverage, but it doesn't give those hospitals back the previous reimbursement rates. So it could literally drive rural hospitals out of existence, cause them to cut back hours, to lay off staff, exactly the things that we don't want to see happen in rural communities.
You talked about the possibility of a hospital closing. It might lose up to 100 jobs and how much of an impact it would have on the tax base.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, many of these rural communities, their hospitals especially, but their clinics as well, are really an economic heart of the community, as well as being critical for healthcare for their residents. I was at the Ben Archer Health center up in Hatch recently, hearing directly from some of the people that would be impacted and also talking to the staff there on how they could be impacted. And if you were to lose a rural hospital in Santa Rosa or a healthcare clinic in Hatch, it's devastating for the local community on many levels. And we just need to make sure that that doesn't happen. And I think one of the other areas that hasn't had enough attention on this is we've known the struggle in New Mexico for some time of the opioid epidemic. But one of the primary ways we've been able to get treatment into the hands of New Mexicans will be cut back under this House bill. And we just can't, at a time when this epidemic is tearing communities apart all across this country and certainly in New Mexico, we can't take a step back just as we're finally making some progress on this epidemic.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Welcome to Voice of the Public. It is a radio town hall meeting with U.S. Senator Martin Heinrich. You can also join us on our social media desk where Fred Martino is standing by right now with a question or a comment for Senator Heinrich. Fred, welcome.
Thanks, Edmundo, and thank you, Senator Heinrich, for continuing the dialogue with the community. We really appreciate it. I know our listeners appreciate this very much. We've had a lot of questions, as you can imagine, about the threat to the Organ Mountains Desert Peaks National Monument, a host of questions about this. And as you're aware, there was even a rally that took place in Las Cruces to say, if you touch our monument, President Trump, you're going to deal with a lot of pushback. We are going to fight this. I want to go there with you. I want to find out from you, do you get a sense that senators and House members will try to do something if the Trump administration tries to change the monument designation here in our region and in other places around the country?
Absolutely. And one thing I can say pretty unequivocally is that if this administration changes the Organ Mountains Desert Peaks National Monument in any way, it will be over the incredible strenuous objections of myself. And I think it's probably safe to say that of Senator Udall as well. We worked very hard for many years with the local community to make that happen. Obviously, Senator Bingaman before that, just years and years of community effort driven from the grassroots up and creating enormous economic opportunity and output. And so we are not going to turn our back on this fantastic monument. It's the backdrop to the community there in southern New Mexico. It has put us on the map in terms of having, you know, the Lonely Planet guidebook put it on the list of the best in the United States for 2016. Visitation has gone way up. It's literally doubled. And all of that has direct impacts on tax revenues in villages like Mesilla and in cities like Las Cruces. So we're not going to stand for that. And, you know, the unfortunate thing in this particular situation, I think what's unfortunate and is probably the only reason it's on that list is that Steve Pierce has not embraced the community's vision for this national monument. And if you look at the other monuments around that are truly threatened, it's often because of a particular House member. And so we need to speak out now, and I guarantee you we will do whatever we can to make sure that we keep this monument intact as it was envisioned by the community.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212 if you want to join in on the conversation with U.S. Senator Martin Heinrich on 90.7 FM and KRWG.org. Let us go to Larry, who is joining us on Voice of the Public. Larry, you are on with Senator Heinrich.
Yes, this is Larry Ruck, Larry. And my thoughts are I'm still kind of going through my past from the Vietnam War stuff. I feel like even up to nowadays, that thought of being spit on, I feel like when I go to the VA, you know, I ask them, I need, could you do this, and could you do that, and could you do this, and I talk to a lot of other veterans that I still feel like my answer from the VA is still just give up and die, give up and die. That's their answer. then other people say, no, keep going with your battle. Keep going with your battle. What you're looking for in life, keep after it. It'll take a long time to get what you want, what you need from the VA. And I'm just a Vietnam vet, and I still feel like I came back from that world over there. The other day, I felt like I wanted to go in Walmart and take down all the American flags and take them outside and burn them.
Larry, do you have a question for the senator?
That's my question. What can be done for me to
Larry,
help me
first,
get?
First, let me say to you and everyone who served in the Vietnam War that this country owes a debt of gratitude to all of you who have put your life on the line for our country. I do not approve of burning the American flag. I would urge you not to do that. But I would urge you to call my office if you need help with the VA, because we can make that better. 575-523-6561. We see it as a central part of our duty to go to bat for people who serve this country, who need access to the care that they've earned. And I know that the commitments that we make to people when they're under service and often come back with PTSD and traumatic brain injury and all sorts of physical challenges last for a lifetime. I've seen that in my own father. He watched several nuclear tests in the South Pacific back in the 50s. He carries the physical impacts of that with him to this day. And so please reach out to us if you need help of any sort with the VA or with veteran service organizations, and we will connect you to that.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. If you want to join in on the conversation with U.S. Senator Martin Heinrich. Florence, welcome to Voice of the Public.
Hello?
Yes, Florence. You've got a question for the senator?
Yes, I'm concerned about the health care. I have heard all of the things that are going to happen with the health care proposal that the Republicans are putting forth now, but I haven't heard anything of what the Democrats are putting forth. It is all right for you to put forth a plan, even though you're the minority, isn't it?
Absolutely, Florence. I could not agree more. And I would love to tell you a little bit about the pivot that I think we need to make. You know, if there's one regret I have about the ACA, it's that we did not get to a point where we had 60 votes and bipartisan support, because that is part of the reason why we're still in this tug of war match today. And so I've put myself to work with some of my Republican colleagues, and we've looked for ways to fix some of the things that we agree don't work under the current system. There's a thing called the 1099 rule that was unduly burdensome to small businesses. We were actually able to come together and fix that a few years ago. Right now, there is a tax that unfortunately is called the Cadillac tax, but will impact many, many New Mexicans who would never dream of a brand new Cadillac. And it makes healthcare more expensive, harder to get employer-based healthcare. And so I'm working with Republican Dean Heller from Nevada, a good friend of mine, to make sure that the Cadillac tax does not take effect. We were actually able to get a two-year reprieve. We were able to pass that legislation. We want to make that permanent. There are other things that people agree. There, in some of these exchanges that only have one or two healthcare companies in the exchange, we need more competition to drive down costs. So there, we need to make the pivot from this ideological repeal and replace that is really more of a tax cut for the wealthy bill than it is a healthcare policy bill. It's just paid for through healthcare policy changes. We need to pivot from that to how do we fix this system and make sure that New Mexicans, whether they're Republicans or Democrats or anything else, have access to the healthcare that they need.
575-646-2212, 575-646-2212. If you want to join in on the conversation with U.S. Senator Martin Heinrich on Voice of the Public, good afternoon. I'm Edmundo Resendez. We now go to our social media desk where Fred Martino is standing by.
Senator, even before today, we've been receiving a lot of questions with people concerned about the situation with the Trump administration and Russia's interference in the election. As you know, many of your colleagues have expressed a lot of support and even, you might say, relief that former FBI Director Mueller is now on the case. Where do you think this stands, and does more need to be done on this issue?
More does need to be done, but I will tell you, as somebody who is very close to this, who actually can't talk about a lot of the investigation that I am privy to on the Intelligence Committee, that Bob Mueller is someone who has the respect of people on both sides of the aisle. What he's doing at the FBI as a special counsel or at the Department of Justice is a criminal matter. He is looking into this as a special counsel, and he will be independent, and not the administration or members of the House and Senate will really have no influence over that. And that is as it should be. That is something I called for a long time ago. And I have a lot of confidence that once he is staffed up and fully functioning, that I can't think of a better special counsel to appoint to have the respect of both sides than Bob Mueller. On the Intelligence Committee, we need to continue our investigation as a counterterrorism or an investigation into the intelligence matters and the counterintelligence implications that this has on our democracy. So our charge is a little different. It is a fact-finding effort to make sure that the Russians cannot influence our elections the way that they did in 2016. And I will tell you that the Russians have been more and more assertive in many countries. We are seeing their influence grow in the region. We've seen that in Syria. We've seen that in Eastern Europe. They are not shy about it. And if you read the paper about any of the elections in Europe, you'll probably read stories about their efforts to meddle in other countries' politics because they want to have that influence. And we need to be very concerned about that. Anytime you have a situation where the leadership of the intelligence community, the head of the CIA and the director of FBI, director of counterterrorism and others have come in front of us and walked through in open session some of the things that the Russians were doing, including having access to a state-level database of voters inside the database. We need to be very concerned about this, and we need to make sure we take steps so that it doesn't happen in 2018, so that it doesn't happen in 2020, or so that we can at least defend ourselves from these hostile actions.
Let us go to Padma, who has been patiently standing by on Voice of the Public. Padma, you are on with Senator Heinrich.
Hello, Senator Heinrich. Thank you for taking my call. I am a parent of a 10-year-old, and my passion is really education. And in this state, in the public education system, I feel like we are under constant attack on our budgets. And it seems to me that the first place that this state goes when there are budget shortfalls is education. I think that's backwards. Completely. And I was wondering if you could speak to what's being done in this state to encourage our governor to look for other sources of revenue for the state to ensure that we can give our children the education that they deserve.
Well, thank you for the question, because I could not agree more that this is the it is one of the central issues in the state of New Mexico right now. And balancing the state budget on the backs of 10-year-old elementary students is no way to balance a budget. We need to be making adequate investments in education, and that starts with early childhood education. We need to take a sustainable portion of our state's enormous permanent fund and direct it specifically at early childhood education. We can't afford not to make that investment, because the biggest challenge we have in public education in the state at the elementary level is the challenge of the children who show up to kindergarten not ready to be a kindergartner, not knowing their numbers, not knowing their letters, and being right out of the gate behind the kids who grow up hearing a huge vocabulary, being read to every day, maybe even reading when they show up that first year of school. Then we need to make the adequate investments in our schools, and we need to start respecting teachers again, because I think teachers have been disrespected by the current administration. And then we need to look at higher education. How do we keep that affordable? How do we make sure that everyone who's willing to work hard and do their part can go on if they want to and get either community college, technical education, and or a four-year university education, and not come out of that situation with so much college debt that they're not buying a home when they should be, they're not getting married when they should be, they're not making investments in the future of the country and in their family. So that's sort of the spectrum of places where I think we're getting it wrong. I've just proposed some legislation with Senator Udall to help rein in the cost of college debt. I'm working on Pell Grants as well, and trying to make those year-round, because so many New Mexico students do use Pell Grants and would graduate sooner and get into the workforce sooner and get further in life economically if they were able to use those Pell Grants in the summertime. We were actually able to get that into the recent budget bill that just passed. And so for the next year, that's true, but we want to make it true indefinitely. So you're focused in on the right issues, and we just need some leadership on these issues. If we had more partners, we would get even more done.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. If you want to join in on the conversation today on Voice of the Public, Senator Heinrich, we've got time for one more call. Let us go to Mary, who has been patiently standing by. Mary, you are on with Senator Heinrich.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call. This is my issue. I watch you closely. I'm very politically involved, and I understand that you're very interested in fact-finding and efforts and bipartisan efforts. However, I would like to know where your fact-finding is on Benghazi, Fast and Furious, and many of the other issues that came up in the past 8 years, not just on the Russian investigation that you're so centered on your Facebook. And I just would like to know where you stand on those issues.
Well, if you'd like to know what that fact-finding looked like, on the Senate Intelligence Committee, we did do an investigation, and we issued a report on that investigation, and I would urge you to read that report. We did not have the sort of theatrics that you saw in the House of Representatives. We had a pretty bipartisan set of issues that came out of that. I have had friends who have had to serve in Benghazi in Libya, and I am very familiar with not only the ambassador, but of others who have put their lives at risk to serve in those hostile locations. And I take their service to this country very, very seriously, Mary.
Senator Heinrich, I want to thank you very much for being on Voice of the Public on 90.7 FM and KRWG. What priorities do you have in the upcoming weeks? I know that it's been a very busy week for you.
Really, jobs continues to be our primary concern, and we're looking for the opportunities that we have on the Armed Services Committee, on the Energy Committee, and others to be making investments in New Mexico jobs. But I'm going to be coming back for the week and Memorial Day, getting a chance to get out and see veterans across the state. I'll be up in Farmington for a Memorial Day ceremony really just saying thank you to our veterans, and remembering those that we have lost in the coming week will be, I think, an important point for all of us to stop and pause and realize at what cost all of these great things our country comes at.
Senator Heinrich, thank you very much for joining us on Voice of the Public. And as always, you have an open invitation to join us again.
Look forward to it.
Well, Fred Martino, what's your takeaway from this town hall, radio town hall meeting?
It's a great part of democracy. You know, I am so glad that we have the responsiveness of both Senator Heinrich and Senator Udall to come. And as you heard there, These are not pre-screened questions. These are questions that come in live on the air. We don't know who is going to call. We don't know what they are going to want to ask. And as part of being an elected representative, you do have to be able to face your constituents. They have done this on this program. Certainly, we did this for 2 hours recently at the Las Cruces Convention Center with about 500 people in person. And it's very, very important to be able to talk to the people who represent us, whether it's in Washington, D.C., or as is going on right now, and we heard a reference to that during this show, up in Santa Fe, dealing with our state budget. This is what democracy is all about. We will be making invitations following the special session for state representatives, for Governor Martinez as well, to do what Senator Heinrich did today, which is to face their constituents, to answer questions, to dialogue with the community about the priorities in our state and in our nation. So that's my biggest takeaway when you ask me what's my takeaway. That's the biggest one. This is crucial, and we're committed to it.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. We are going to open up the phone lines and have an open forum, an open discussion on what's on your mind. From issues from immigration, the future of the Democratic and Republican parties, the New Mexico budget, the legacy of Governor Martinez. Join in on the conversation right now at 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Fred, we do want to add that we have made and have an open invitation to Congressman Steve Pierce.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We want to hear from our elected representatives. And to me, this is just an amazing way to do it, because while we do have forums here at the station, which are televised, folks have to be able to drive here and appear in person. But with the Voice of the Public program, you can do this from the comfort of your home. You can pick up the phone. And we want to hear from people right now. We want to hear from you. What are the particular topics that you want to hear about on this program, in television forums? How can we serve you better? 646-2212. That's 646-2212. And Edmundo, I'll ask you the same question. So we heard about a half hour from Senator Heinrich about a number of issues today. What was your big takeaway?
Healthcare. Yeah. Healthcare is on the forefront of many people's minds. That is what they are ready to hear about, ready to be educated about. And I think the conversation regarding healthcare is, what are both sides offering? And, you know, right now it's on the Senate floor, it's on the Senate to debate and discuss. And this is the time for people's voices to be heard. You know, as some of these senators and congressmen are going back to their districts to talk to their constituents, it's an opportunity in shows like Voice of the Public for you to let them know what's on your mind, how it will impact you. I, for one, am looking at how this will impact myself and my family, my extended family, and how some of them have just finally have been able to get insurance, and now the issue of pre-existing conditions comes to play. So that was my big takeaway, that's what's on people's minds, is that. Healthcare.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you are hitting it on the mark that is one of the critical issues right now. And that's why we have shows like this, because we need to hear from the people who represent us in Washington on issues like this. And, you know, I have to say, with healthcare, we just found out this week that the revisions made to the Republican plan that came out of the House really did not affect it very much in terms of the people who would potentially lose insurance. I mean, the initial plan, it was estimated to be 24 million. Now it's still 23 million. So just about the same number. But here's the thing, and I want to get to this because it's just crucial for people to understand, and it's unfortunately in a lot of news reporting where you only have 2 minutes or 5 minutes even, it's often overlooked. This isn't just about the people who will lose insurance or the people who will pay more because they're on the exchange or who will possibly lose Medicaid. This is about each and every one of us, because one of the reasons why before the Affordable Care Act, prices were going up at an even higher rate on a yearly basis is uncompensated care. When fewer people are insured, insurance rates go up more and they go up at a faster rate. So even if you have health insurance from your employer, you are affected by what is happening if revisions are made. We're having a lower overall, a lower rate of increase in insurance premiums. People often focus on one particular thing. So on the exchanges in some states, there have been very large increases. But the overall increase in insurance has gone down since the Affordable Care Act went into effect. And so people need to understand that. This is the kind of thing that you understand through programs like this, where we have time to really delve into the issues. Give us a call now. We want to hear what's on your mind. 646-2212. That's 646-2212.
575-646-2212. You are on Voice of the Public. Let us welcome James to Voice of the Public. James, but what's on your mind, sir?
Yes, sir. My name is James. I'm on Medicaid. I'm developmentally disabled. And I'm losing coverage here in New Mexico. Hello?
Yes.
I'm losing coverage here in New Mexico. And, certain things are taking longer to get, but I'm not able to get them for some things like 5 years at a time. And like they're saying on TV that you're supposed to get your eyes checked at least once a year. I'm not able to do that until once every 3 years. What do you think about what's going on with that?
Okay, well, thank you very much for your call. You know, Edmundo, this is another important point that even with the expansion of Medicaid, which did take place in some states, including New Mexico, there are still major challenges. And, you know, one of the things that we heard when we had the town hall at the Las Cruces Convention Center with both senators, Heinrich and Udall, is that some people believe that the long term, the only solution here to issues like we just heard, is what's called Medicare for all. In other words, single payer health insurance. This is something that Bernie Sanders called for when he ran for president. It is unfortunately, some would argue, politically not going to happen right now because of the makeup of the Senate and the House.
And that's what it comes down to, is the makeup of the Senate and the House. Yeah. And, you know, the issues that some of these congressmen and congresswomen and senators have been running on the last 8 years, which is to abolish the Affordable Care Act, period.
Yeah, yeah. And we should also mention, and I mentioned this when we had our two-hour town hall with both senators, while this has been a dream of many progressives for a long time, it is more than a dream. There actually has been legislation in the House for many, many years to bring single-payer health care to the United States. John Dingell in Michigan has sponsored legislation to do that for a long time. It's gone nowhere. This is why we focus on this at this station on people registering to vote and people voting. Because when people are polled, not only in New Mexico, but around the country, guess what the most popular solution is to our healthcare challenge? Single payer. It's about 58% to 60%, depending on how you ask the question. But about that number, a clear majority supports single payer healthcare.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. You can also join us on our social media desk if you have a question or a comment. What's on your mind? It's an open forum, an opportunity for you to call in and let us know what you're thinking about. Where do you see issues regarding the border wall? Who pays for it? The national budget. A budget was just released this week. Big budget. Big numbers. You know, what's on your mind regarding that? What about the proposed education budget? How would that affect New Mexico? Senator Heinrich addressed that as well. What's on your mind? 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Let us go to the line right now with Dr. Nelson. Dr. Nelson, welcome to Voice of the Public.
Hi. Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine.
Sorry, I'm in the car. The one thing I wanted to say is that the state of New Mexico isn't poor. It's technically being robbed, and we've seen it with the tax cuts and so on. But besides that issue, the local issue in Las Cruces is this. Okay, higher education is the only way, in most cases, to dig oneself out of poverty. But somehow New Mexico State University has decided to balance budgets on the backs of black people, brown people, and indigenous populations. And here's my comment, and I'd like to hear your discussion on it. How is it New Mexico State University has no Mexican history in the history department, has no indigenous history in the history department, and barely has African-American history, black history, in the history department? So I'll leave it at that, and I'll wait for your comment.
Thank you, Dr. Nelson, for joining us on Voice of the Public. You can join us as well with your questions or comments at 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. The issue of diversity at NMSU, it's not something new, Fred. It's gone on for a long time. And, you know, regarding Hispanic or Mexican-American studies, you know, there's Chicano studies program here. Many people feel it's not big enough.
Yeah, it's interesting. So one of the things that you have to look at when you look at questions about education, whatever they are, is funding. And in terms of New Mexico State University, there have been more than 700 job cuts over the last few years. And this is in part due to cuts that have taken place at the state level. I say in part because let's remember as well that last year there was no tuition increase here. There was a tuition increase at the University of New Mexico at about 2.5%, which is about what inflation is, right? Each year, even in the best of times, overall inflation is about 2% a year. Again, that's in the best of times, about 2% a year. And so if you don't raise tuition, if you don't raise funding to keep up with inflation, we got simple math. We got a math problem. Over time, we have a serious, serious issue. I did a report on this, in fact, in the last week, that this affects K-12 as well as higher education. Let's take a look at what not keeping up with inflation has done with K-12. In Las Cruces, a starting teacher makes $34,000 a year. That is $10,000 a year less than in El Paso, at the El Paso Independent School District, where a starting teacher makes $44,000 a year. So there are long-term consequences to budgeting that pretends that inflation doesn't exist. And that's just one example. Let's be real about this. There are many, many examples. We can be make great speeches. We can be very powerful in many different ways. But none of us have the power to overcome math. Math is real. I'd love to be able to overcome math, but I can't.
You can't. 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Let us go to Lucas, who has been patiently standing by on Voice of the Public. Lucas, welcome.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Sorry, it's a little noisy.
Lucas, we are having a hard time hearing you, buddy.
Sorry about that. How about now?
There you go.
Okay. I wanted to thank the senator for his recommitments, or his continued commitment to our national monument here in this week. And I just wanted to, as a talking point, discuss that we're supposed to talk about the monument. As a person who was involved with that, helped, you know, brought some of the lines, and has been out to many, many of these places. And as you just said, math can't be, you can't argue with math. And so there's not a mathematical way in which you can protect the antiquities that are included within the monument by not including what's already there. In fact, during those negotiations, we left a lot off. There's a whole area near Tanuco Mountain that was originally included in some of the preliminary drawings that wasn't included because of, you know, at some point we were trying to make compromises. So that's my comment, is that the recent editorials that in the paper and conversations about reducing the size of the monument literally put the risk hundreds, if not thousands, of antiquity sites within the monument. And I thank the senator for his continued commitment for that.
Thank you, Lucas.
All right, for folks who had trouble hearing, he's talking about the monument and bringing up the point that while some have said, you know, the monument could be reduced in size, this is something that Congressman Pierce had promoted, he's saying, look, we did make compromises. In fact, there are areas that were not included in the monument where there may be treasures. And in fact, while the monument is larger than what some folks want, there were compromises made.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Good afternoon. I'm Edmundo Resendez. With us is Fred Martino. He is Director of Content. What's on your mind? What issues are important to you? What issues would you like KRWG to cover more? What issues do you want to talk about right now on Voice of the Public? 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Let us join Laverne, or let us have Laverne join us on the conversation on Voice of the Public. Laverne, welcome.
Thank you.
What's on your mind?
I wanted to say that healthcare here in America is, I think what people, it's never brought out in the open, but it's a for-profit organization. And the insurance companies are in the middle. And they, all the insurance companies that participate in healthcare in this country, their CEOs, every one of them have $1 million salary. And this last year, when everybody's premiums went way up, they got $1 million bonuses. Now, how come this is never addressed? You know, if we're trying to save money for us here in the public, then a for-profit system is contradictory. I am also in favor of a single-payer system. That's what the military has. That's what probably you senators and representatives have some sort of that thing going on, too, where they have great insurance. They should have the same insurance as the rest of us. And I see nothing wrong with a single-payer system. It's just that the insurance companies will be cut out.
Thank you, Laverne, for joining us on Voice of the Public. 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212 if you want to join in on the conversation. We've got about 11 minutes to go. You can join in on the conversation right now. Fred, again, coming back to the single health payer plan.
Absolutely. You know, this is certainly going to be a continued discussion. Whatever the Senate does in terms of altering the plan that came out of the House, and whether that even is passed, by the Senate, or whether or not the House agrees with Senate changes, the drumbeat for a bigger change like single payer health care is not going to end. You know, I hear the frustration in Laverne's question, and we heard something on social media to this end as well that we didn't get to with Senator Heinrich, because it really wasn't a question. It was a statement on Facebook. Rogie, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, wanted to say that she felt like the DNC and Democratic leadership need to speak out more about various issues. She has a long statement on Facebook, but I'll say at the very end of it, what she said was, many of us feel smothered, silenced, intimidated, and we need leadership with spine. So, you know, I think hearing that, reading that on Facebook, it made me think about our presidential election. And certainly, I think one of the appeals of Bernie Sanders was he appealed to a lot of people because many people thought that he was somebody with spine, for sure. He spoke out, he spoke his mind, and he didn't mince words, and he continues to do
and
that.
And he still continues to do that. I mean, and sure that's does. The thing. You sometimes see some presidential elections where somebody runs for office, and once they do not win, they kind of like fade away. Senator Sanders has not done that.
No, and Senator Warren hasn't either, we should say. Senator Elizabeth Warren speaks out, and she does not mince words either. She speaks very clearly about what she thinks the American public needs and why it is not happening.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Let us go to Jeff, who is standing by. Jeff, welcome to Voice of the Public.
Hello. When Senator Udall and Senator Heinrich were on the town hall meeting a few weeks ago, somebody called in about on Social Security, they should raise the level where you still have to pay into Social Security, and I'm all for that. And then I think that there should be more U.S. mints, and you know, for coinage. This isn't a joke, because like in Japan, they have a coin that's worth equivalent of U.S. $5. And then when people do get your Social Security payments, the disability, part of that should be paid in those coins, so that the people have more privacy with what they do with their money.
Thank you,
Jeff. That would be two economical things that I think should be done, and that wouldn't be inflationary, because you're going to get the money from these high-income entertainers and celebrities and just anybody that makes huge amounts of money. Why shouldn't they? And then the estate tax. The Republicans want to totally do away with the estate tax, and that only affects the ultra-rich anyway. So that's ridiculous, too.
All right, Jeff, thank you for joining us on Voice of the Public. 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212. And what about diversification of taxes, Fred? I mean, how do we look at the state of New Mexico, for example, that is dealing with this budget crunch? And you have a governor that is holding strong on the no new taxes whatsoever. You have a legislature that is literally, I want to say, pulling their hair out, trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah. This is so difficult. And, you know, he mentioned as well another issue that was covered in our town hall, our radio town hall that we had from the Las Cruces Convention Center. And for folks who didn't understand the question, I want to make sure we don't miss it. In addition to hearing about health care, it is likely that if not during the next 4 years, during the next 8 years, we will see attempts again to try to change Social Security. Long term, we know that there is a need to do some adjustment to ensure the viability of Social Security. And what he talked about was raising the amount of income that is taxed in order to be able to ensure the future of Social Security. Many people don't realize that right now, in 2017, you only face a tax on about $127,000 of income. So if someone makes $1 million, just a little more than 10% of their income is taxed for Social Security. The other 90% is Social Security tax free. And so many progressives say, why do we have this limit? Why instead don't we have a Social Security system where all income is taxed? And then there have been government studies done to find that, in fact, we don't have a problem with the viability of Social Security if that's done.
And I've seen those studies as well.
Yeah.
All right. We've got about 5 minutes to go. Let us go to Linda. Linda, welcome to Voice of the Public on 90.7 FM.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, Linda.
Hello. Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine.
Okay. Could you explain to me what the difference is for our senators, our House of Representatives? Could you give me a breakdown of the difference with their insurance and the public insurance proposal? Why would that be different if they are public servants?
Well, from my understanding is that they are exempt from the Affordable Care Act. That is something that is very controversial, and many senators and congressmen voted to be exempt from that. And they have different insurance than what most normal people have, right? I mean, is that your understanding?
Okay, well, you know, thank goodness for the internet, right? We're going to fact-check .org, healthcare for members of Congress. And folks can go online and read a lot more information on that. And what factcheck.org tells us is that until 2014, members of Congress were covered by private insurance under the same system that covers all federal workers. That was until 2014. But then that changed. That changed under the Affordable Care Act. It says that this did go into a different system. It's really too complicated and a lot too much to talk about in the last few minutes that we have.
We are pretty much out of time.
Folks can go to factcheck.org and get a lot more information on that. It's important to understand, not so much though, the fact that there are different plans for different federal workers and Congress. The biggest issue is that there is an attempt right now in Congress to repeal the Affordable Care Act and replace it with a plan that currently will potentially eliminate 23 million people from insurance.
Thank you very much for joining us on Voice of the Public. Fred, let's look at New Mexico. Where do we stand regarding the budget this week? I know that the special session was called in yesterday. What's come out of it?
It's very fascinating, actually. You know, there have been a number of attempts to once again pass legislation that was already passed during the regular session. And we expect, again, vetoes from Governor Martinez. But something different happened yesterday when the Senate actually passed a measure that would go ahead and do bonding in order to make up the difference in the budget. So this would be, again, though, something that the governor could veto. So this would not involve a tax increase. It would essentially involve a long-term loan to be able to make up the gap in the budget if she doesn't want to pass any kind of revenue increase. But again, she could veto that as well. So we'll have to wait and see. But developments are coming very quickly on things in Santa Fe, and we'll update them on KRWG.org.
All right, Fred, thank you very much for joining us here on Voice of the Public. Fred Martino is content director for KRWG and worked the social media desk. Jack Lockwood is our technical producer and answered the phones. Anthony Moreno was our studio producer. I'm Edmundo Resendez. Thank you for joining us on Voice of the Public on 90.7 FM and KRWG.org. If you have any suggestions for any future shows on Voice of the Public or just any topics, email us at feedback@nmsu.edu. Feedback@nmsu.edu. Thank you for joining us on Voice of the Public.